Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are listening to the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra play the overture from The Marriage of Figaro, which is supposed to be performed on opening night. The new season is set to begin in less than 2 months, but the storied opera house is in a bitter labor dispute with 15 of its 16 unions. The Met ran a deficit of just under $3 million last year, and management is asking the unions, including those that represent the orchestra, singers, and stagehands, it's asking them to take deep cuts to help right the ship. The unions, unsurprisingly, are having none of that. And here with me to explain what's going on is Jennifer Maloney, an arts reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So let's just put this in perspective. What are the deep concessions that Gelb, the man in charge, is asking the unions to take? How much are we talking about here?
He is looking for work rule changes and benefits changes that he says would save 16 to 17% in labor costs. So essentially, the members of the orchestra, the members of the chorus, dancers, stagehands say that their pay would be cut by 17% or more.
So a pretty big, like, that's a pretty big docking of your pay.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into the news that broke over the weekend, which I'm sure you've been following very closely, we want to start at the beginning here. Just remind us, the Met's management, led by Peter Gelb, who I just mentioned a minute ago, he's the general manager. He's asking its union members to take some cuts in order to help sort out the financial situation. And he has threatened a lockout if they don't agree. Can you sort of lay out the arguments on both sides here?
Sure. So he says the company needs a financial reset, a reboot. A number of years, there has been a decline in box office sales. The Met has been making heavy draws on its endowment to help cover operating costs.
And how big is that endowment?
At the moment, it stands at around, I think,
like around $300 million or something?
Something like
that.
Okay. Actually, it's down from $300. It's now in the 200s.
Oh, I've just been told it's shrunk to $267 million from $305 million in 2006. So it's going down.
Right. And they've been drawing on it to cover their operating costs. At the same time, there's a reality in the opera world that ticket sales have been declining, although some companies are doing well in recent years. But the Met has seen a significant slump in its box office sales. So in the face of this, Peter Gelb says we must reset our finances. We have to cut costs. The union leaders say, now hold on a second. They say, look, the Met has been spending in a way that union leaders think is excessive, investing too much money in new productions, scheduling unnecessary overtime. They say you need to rein in these excesses instead of paying for, you know, these problems off of our paychecks.
Okay, so listeners, which side has your sympathies in this dispute between the Met Opera unions and the Met Opera management? Give us a call, 212-433-9692. Is this dispute a little too highbrow for you to get riled up over, or are you genuinely worried about the future of opera in this city? 212-433-9692. So right on the verge of the threatened lockout, there was breaking news over the weekend that gave both sides some breathing room. Explain to us what happened, Jennifer.
Right. So the general manager had said that if they didn't reach agreements by a deadline of Sunday night, that he would lock out the union members. Right approaching this deadline, the unions representing the orchestra and the musicians of the orchestra and the chorus and other singers had agreed to bring in a federal mediator sort of at the last moment, 11th hour bid to try to get talks going again. So the mediator helped broker an agreement to bring in an independent financial analyst who is going to prepare a confidential, independent report, a review of the Met's books. And that's going to take about a week, they say. So the lockout is now on hold while this independent analyst comes in, looks at the finances, and then offers a report to all sides, to the unions and to the Met, that may provide a framework for them to move forward. So we're now stepped back from the brink of the lockout, and we're waiting to see.
So when can we expect that financial report?
So the analyst started his work on Saturday, and they said it would take about a week.
Oh, he had a great weekend, didn't he? I mean, I want to ask, how much is this really about finances, or is it about the union's is this a partial referendum on Gelb's management style? Because there does seem to be very different personalities at work here as well, and you must have deep contacts there.
There certainly has been a very public, very heated debate in recent months about Gelb's management approach. When he took the helm of the Metropolitan Opera in 2006, he came in with a strategy that involved spending and investing heavily in HD productions, which get beamed into movie theaters all around the world, live broadcasts, and also spending heavily on new productions, bringing in sort of star directors from Broadway and from, you know, different sort of outside the opera world. His argument was, if we invest in new productions and new technology, we will generate excitement and the revenue will follow. Ticket sales will follow. And it did for a few years. The problem was that the costs continued to rise, but the revenue plateaued, and then ticket sales started to slump. So this current crisis has really prompted a lot of examination on that strategy and debate over whether it has been successful or not.
Let's go to Vivian in Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, Vivian. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I am in support of the musicians and performers and so forth in terms of these demands. And I know that, you know, it's true that the cost of any big operation tends to primarily consist of, you know, personnel. But I just dislike the way he continuously just acts as if he's not a part of that equation. I think Gelb's salary is outrageous, and if he's going to ask the musicians and the performers to give back money, he should be willing to do the same.
No, that's a great question. Jennifer, what is Peter Gelb's salary, and is he willing to take a 16% cut too?
Well, there was a big hue and cry recently because it was disclosed that in 2012 he earned a total of $1.8 million. At the same time, the Met disclosed that this year he took a pay cut of 10%, and his base salary is now around 1.5. He has said that whatever concessions he gets from the unions, management will take equivalent cuts. And I should also note that members of the orchestra and the chorus are also well paid. The median salary in the orchestra is around $191,000, and the average chorus salary was $200,000 in the 2012-2013 season. That was a season that included a lot of overtime and four-hour-plus productions. So the chorus members say, look, that wasn't, you know, a great example.
That's not typical.
Because it's not typical, yeah.
Do you know what the base salary is then?
The salary structure is really unusual. Uh-huh. About half of their earnings comes from a base salary, and then the other half is a combination of, you know, work rules and some of their money comes from revenue sharings from the HD broadcasts. They get paid separately for rehearsals and depending on the time of the day and the week. So it's complicated.
It's very complicated. Yeah. Okay. So we have a nice question, a good question on the web from someone with the initials CE. Can you ask your guest to clarify why there is so much acrimony? Why would the Met and their unions risk a lockout given how destructive similar disputes have been to other cultural institutions around the country?
Well, this is something that that surprised many people earlier this year. General Manager Peter Gelb, sort of right out of the gate, started off the discussions by threatening a lockout. And that sort of set a tone. You know, his perspective was, we're facing a crisis. I have to play tough.
Mm-hmm.
This is real. But union members said, hey, wait a second, we haven't even started talks yet and already you're threatening a lockout. The The acrimony has been fierce. It's played out very publicly. There have been wars of words that have played out in the press. I think
what a lot of us are thinking about is just last fall, City Opera. They ran into financial trouble and they called it curtains for good, right?
They did.
After they completely ran out of money. Is City Opera's failure to get its finances together a troubling precedent now that the Met is going through sort of a similar situation?
City Opera's case was different in that for many years they suffered a series of financial crises, and their board of directors made a series of decisions that in retrospect were catastrophic. They tapped out their endowment. They renovated their theater, going dark for an entire season, and they never recovered their subscribers after that. But it is true that lockouts in the Metropolitan Opera's own past have been damaging. It's taken years in some cases for them to rebound from the loss in subscribers, the loss in box office revenue. When you go dark for a few months, it takes a while to get people back.
Let's go to Terry in Manhattan. Hi, Terry. You're on WNYC.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yes, I've been going to the Met for years and years, and I've been so frustrated the past couple of years, because the productions of Peter Gelb has put into place what you can politely call Euro trash, and they're really annoying. You see them once, you never want to see them again. The Met used to have these beautiful productions that were kind of traditional maybe, but they were beautiful, and you look forward to seeing them again and again. And so it's a problem. You see that production, you never want to see it again. Plus, it's a cheating singers. We have some great singers today. Jonas Troppmann, one of the greatest singers ever, the greatest tenors ever. But you can't see him in a production that's worthy of him because they make him do this weird stuff. So, fine. Gelb hires these directors that have a lot of money, but it ends up being an ego trip for them. They don't care about the story. They don't care about the motivations of the characters. It's just their vision, and their vision sucks. So,
Terry, thank you so much. All right, we got to wrap up, Jennifer, but what do you think? It's Euro trash. They're obviously, for some people, they're not playing to the people who have been standing by them for years. Why not give the audience what it wants?
Well, I think Peter Gelb would say that innovation is key to sort of reinvigorating the art form. And, you know, the Met is looking to, you know, preserve old standards, but at the same time sort of inject new energy.
All right. That's a very diplomatic way of putting it. We're going to have to leave it there today. I've been speaking with The Wall Street Journal's Jennifer Maloney. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on The Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks for having me.